I didn't order this merchandise. It was just sent to me in the mail. Do I have to pay for it? Hello? Hello?
Hello, sucker.
Station WMAQ is presenting Hello, Sucker, in cooperation with the Chicago Better Business Bureau, to help you recognize some of the schemes and rackets now making the rounds in Chicago. Business people are honest and fair with the public, almost 100%. But there's a small minority which preys on the unsuspecting public through petty schemes and rackets. Although these rackets are continually exposed and their perpetrators prosecuted, many continue year after year, with new ones being concocted and old ones revived with a new slant. Guard against the racket. Don't let the expression, "Hello, sucker," refer to you. Protect yourself. Listen to Chapter 11, Chiselers for Charity, on Hello, Sucker.
For many years, there have been numerous rackets devised to get at your purse strings by tugging at your heartstrings. These take various forms. There are door-to-door solicitors who collect donations for non-existent charities. There are people trying to get you to buy advertising space in small publications at exorbitant prices, the bulk of the money supposedly to go to some worthy cause. There are tag days, of which there are 125 unofficial ones a year in Chicago and its suburbs. There are fraudulent mail, phone, and personal solicitations of all kinds and descriptions, all in the name of charity. And suckers for each and every one of them. Almost everyone is a sucker at one time or another for at least one of these rackets. And as long as we can...
Wait a minute. Are you calling me a sucker?
Perhaps. Who are you?
Name's Tom Byron, and I resent being...
Oh, Tom Byron. You are indeed a sucker.
Oh, now look here.
Yes, a real sucker. You fell twice for the same racket. Well, you're a soft-hearted fellow, Tom Byron, but a little careless with your money.
You've got me all wrong. You must have me mixed up with someone else.
Oh, no. I can see you want proof. All right. Come here a moment. Here, over to the window.
All right, but...
See that woman there getting into that car?
Yes.
Beautiful car, isn't it?
Yes, but what's that got to do...
You helped pay for that car, Tom Byron.
Me? Why, I don't even know the woman.
And you know something? She doesn't know you either.
Who is she?
Her name is Catherine Jones. Just a couple of months ago, you received a letter from her. Remember? It was right after dinner one evening. You were sitting in your easy chair about to glance at the evening paper when your wife, Janet, called a letter to your attention.
Tom, look what came in the mail today.
Huh? What is it? Oh, key holder. Who sent it?
Some charity organization called... Oh, wait a minute. Here's their letter. It's called the Welfare Association for Crippled Children.
Now, how come they sent us a key holder? You ordered from...
No, they just sent it. They want us to buy it for $1.
Well, they don't need any more key holders. Besides, it's pretty crummy looking. Made of cheap plastic.
But what do we do with it, Tom? I hate to just send it back.
Yes, I don't know what we should do with it. Let's see the letter a minute, Jack.
Here.
The enclosed key holder is sent to you on approval. Part of our campaign to raise money to help crippled and underprivileged children. These children need assistance desperately. Your contribution of $1 for the key holder will mean so little to you and so much to them. May God bless you for your help and support. Catherine Jones, President.
And look at the picture they enclosed of these two darling children. Aren't they sweet? And they think that they're crippled.
Yeah. Cute youngsters, are they?
See, it says under the picture... Won't you do your bit towards helping them lead happy and normal lives?
Gosh, these people sort of make you feel like a heel if you don't send a donation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, Janet. You give the key holder to Johnny to play with. I will send in a dollar to this welfare association. In fact, I might even make it $2. One as a sort of extra contribution from Johnny. Because he's luckier than his other kids.
And at the offices of the Welfare Association for Crippled Children, The donations start rolling in. Not only your $2, Tom Byron, but many other dollars from all over Chicago. Catherine Jones, president of the association, sits at her desk, smiling benignly on the man who is responsible for the campaign.
You know, Mr. Elmore, when you first suggested this campaign, I didn't dream it would have such amazing results.
Well, I told you it would. I've been promoting charity campaigns for a good many years, Miss Jones. And this unordered merchandise gimmick gets them every time. It's sure fire. You know, people like to receive something tangible for the money.
And to think I've been wasting time paying door-to-door solicitors to rake in a few hundred dollars. You live and learn. Oh, excuse me, I'd better take this call. Hello? Yes, this is the Welfare Association for Crippled Children. Yes? I understand. The doctors advise an operation on your child and you have no money. Yes? Yes, I got that. Unless the operation is performed now, the child will never be able to walk. Yes. Yes, I have no doubt it's a deserving case, and I'm terribly sorry the association can't help you at this time. But you see, our funds are rather limited, and we just haven't the money to handle any more cases. You might try one of the other charity organizations. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, we were discussing the campaign. There's just one thing I don't like about it, Mr. Elmore.
And that is?
Your, shall we call it, your commission. I think 60% is entirely too high.
Well, I generally charge 75 to 90%, Miss Jones. You're getting a very good deal. Remember, for that 60%, I handle the entire mailing for you.
I know that, but it seems to me the association should get more than 40%.
May I merely remark, Miss Jones, that I have made inquiries about your association? And isn't it strange, but I can't seem to locate a single instance where you have spent money helping any crippled or underprivileged children.
Oh. I suppose you're right, Mr. Elmore. 60% isn't too high for all the work you've handled. I guess I'm a little too hasty in my judgment at times.
Oh, and by the way, Miss Jones, I'd like to compliment you on your good taste.
My good taste?
Yes. That's the most gorgeous new car you're driving. I've always been partial to that shade of blue.
So you see, Mr. Byron?
Gosh, I guess I have been a sucker.
Unfortunately, there were so many others, too. Not only individuals, but business firms. The unordered merchandise racket is a very old one. And too few people know what their rights are when they receive objects through the mail which they didn't order.
What are those rights?
The recipient of such merchandise is under no obligation to pay for it or to return it, even if a stamped container is enclosed for that purpose. He may hold the merchandise for a reasonable length of time and may even demand payment for storage charges if the sender calls for the goods. The mailing of such merchandise is not unlawful, provided it is not shipped COD or insured. But this would become a very unprofitable racket. Those who received unordered goods would stand upon their rights.
Gee, well, I'm glad to know about that.
This racket becomes doubly vicious when it's tied in with a fake charity organization.
Well, I don't know how a person can tell what's a fake and what's not.
Well, the Chicago Association of Commerce maintains a Contributors Information Bureau for this purpose. Any member of the association may phone at any time for information on any organization soliciting funds. And, of course, the Chicago Better Business Bureau will be glad to pass along to anyone information they have on welfare organizations.
I've been wondering what you meant when you said before that I fell twice for the same racket. Now, I don't mind admitting to being a sucker once.
You probably didn't recognize it as the same racket. The second one had a slightly different twist. Actually, it's more vicious than the first one because it uses the good name of a splendid, worthwhile organization. Now, this one's being pulled on Chicagoans quite frequently.
And I fell for it?
You sure did. Now, refresh your memory. Yeah, but first, let me tell you about Franklin Campbell, one of the biggest and smartest promoters that ever hit Chicago. He's quite an attractive fellow. Makes an impressive appearance. You know the type. Wears hand-tailored suits, pure silk ties, always has his shoes polished. The kind of man who has money to spend and spends it where it makes the best impression. Head waiters love him. Always reserve the best table for him and greet him with pleasure.
Well, good evening, Mr. Campbell.
Good evening, Henri. Can you find me a nice quiet table for two, where we can enjoy a leisurely meal and conversation without, shall we say, any undue noise or interruption?
But of course, Mr. Campbell. I have just the table for you, a nice corner spot. Just come with me. You shall see for yourself.
I'll trust your judgment, Henri.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, and Henri.
Yes, sir?
When Mr. Seymour arrives, he's the gentleman I'm expecting. Please have him shown to my table immediately.
Certainly, Mr. Campbell. Just as soon as he arrives.
Well, Mr. Seymour, I hope you enjoyed your dinner. This is one of my favorite spots. They serve excellent food.
Oh, yes, Mr. Campbell, I enjoyed the dinner very much. Matter of fact, I guess it's the first time I ever tasted breast of guinea hen. Sure was good.
And now, sit back and enjoy your brandy. It's a special vintage, very old. Ah, delicious. And now, Mr. Seymour, I guess we're ready to talk business.
Yes, Well, frankly, Mr. Campbell, when you came up to the Veterans Benefit League the other day and invited me to dinner so we could have a little private business conference, I didn't know what it was all about. I still don't, so I'll be glad to...
Have me explain, eh? Certainly, Mr. Seymour. Well, that's a mighty fine organization you have, by the way. Must be quite a job being an officer.
Well, of course, it does have its problems.
I can well imagine. Your biggest headache, I should presume, would be obtaining enough funds to carry on your good work of rehabilitation of veterans.
Oh, you're certainly right, Mr. Campbell. And lately, somehow, it's been rather tough.
I know. I've checked up on your organization.
You have?
Yes. And as a result of that check, I've decided to help you.
Well, that's swell of you, Mr. Campbell. We need any contributions we can get.
Now, Mr. Seymour, what would you say if I were to offer you... say $1,000 for your Veterans Benefit League as your percentage of proceeds.
$1,000? Well, gosh, that'll be wonderful. I don't think I understand what you mean by percentage of proceeds.
Oh, it's very simple. My firm, the Charity Projects Incorporated, is in the business of helping to raise funds for worthwhile groups like yours by putting on benefit shows. We make all arrangements for the shows, put all the bills, and so forth, and handle the entire campaign. And turn over a certain guaranteed amount to the organization in whose name we give the shows. Do I make myself clear, Mr. Seymour?
Well, yes, I guess you do, Mr. Campbell.
Well, no matter. I can go over all the details with you later. All I want to know now is, are you agreeable to the plan? I really don't know why you wouldn't be. It's like finding $1,000.
Yes, it sounds great. But what would I have to do?
Just sign a contract with my concern, in which we guarantee to give you $1,000 as your percentage of the show proceeds. And you give us carte blanche to go ahead, do all the work of putting on the show using your organization's name on all publicity.
Well, you have my consent, Mr. Campbell, but of course I want to get the consent of all the other officers of the league before signing the contract.
If you're willing, I'm sure they'll be. Now, I have an option on Variety Hall for Friday evening. Let me see the date.
Variety Hall? Well, that's one of the largest public auditoriums in town.
Quite right. It holds 18,000 people.
We could never fill a place that large.
Ah, don't you worry about that, Mr. Seymour. I assure you we can. I've done it several times before.
Gosh.
Well, now, I'll go ahead and have the contract made up and bring it around to you to sign. That'll be next, was Tuesday morning the satisfactory?
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
Hello, Lou. Franklin Campbell.
Yeah, Mr. Campbell.
I have a signed contract from the Veterans Benefit League for a benefit show to be held in Variety Hall Friday, January 13th. I need tickets printed, letterhead, statements, the works, same as usual. Can you handle it for me in a rush?
Look, Mr. Campbell, that's 3 months off yet, and I got another rush job I'm doing. Gives me more profit.
How soon could you do it?
I don't know. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
Too late. I need it this week, Lou.
But like I told you last time, all I get is peanuts out of your work.
If you don't want to handle my work, just say so, Lou. I'll have it done someplace else. Only permit me to say you're acting like a fool. I give you volume business. I put on several shows a year. You can always make some kind of money on volume work.
Not with your setup. I lose money spending the time on your...
Now, look, Lou. We made an agreement in writing, remember? Now, you wouldn't want a Welsh out of that agreement, would you?
No. No, Mr. Campbell, I guess you're right. I'm a Welcher. You want the same men enlisted last time?
No. Never try the same suckers twice, I always say. I'll send you over a new list and a copy by special messenger.
Okay. How many names?
Oh, roughly about 25,000, 30,000. And Lou?
Yeah?
This week, Lou. I want the work finished this week.
Okay, Mr. Campbell. I'll do my best.
Fine. I knew I could depend on you, Lou. Chiseling little rat.
Theatrical Federation of America. Yes, one moment, please. There you are. Oh, hello, Mr. Campbell.
Good morning, young lady. I've come to see Miss Fuller.
Well, go right on in, Mr. Campbell. She's not busy right now.
Thank you. Morning, Miss Fuller. Delightful morning, isn't it?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Campbell. What can I do for you?
I'm running another show in 2 months. I'll need talent.
How many acts?
Oh, probably about 10.
For what date and where?
January 13th at Variety Hall.
Variety Hall? Well, then, I guess you'll want a couple of top billing acts this time. I can get you some good ones. A singer who is appearing...
I'm not spending that kind of money, Miss Fuller. Unless, of course, these artists would like to donate their services in the name of sweet charity.
Look, Mr. Campbell, we go over that every time you put on a show and come here for talent. You pay for the hall, you pay for ushers, you pay for everything else. And yet you expect to get talent for nothing. I've told you before. I'll tell you again. For the past 2 years, we've had a ruling. All artists belonging to the Theatrical Federation of America get paid a minimum of $50 for any performance, whether it's...
Now, please, Miss Fuller, need you get so upset? Now, I'm sure you and I can do business as usual. I'm perfectly willing to pay for the talent. You go ahead, line them up.
All right.
I leave everything to your discretion. But remember, I want the cheapest acts I can get. The minimum is all I'll pay for any bunch of hams.
We only have 100 more envelopes to address in stock, Mr. Campbell.
Fine, Miss Howell. Did you double-check the enclosures? Make certain that each envelope contains at least 2 tickets, a letter, a brochure, and a statement?
Yes, sir.
And I presume you've seen that the typists were very careful to show on the statement that all payments for the tickets were to be made to the Star Parade at this address?
Yes, Mr. Campbell.
Good. Then you may start sending out the mailing immediately.
I'll take care of it right away.
Hello? Is Bob Seymour? Oh, well, this is Franklin Campbell. Yes, fine. We've got everything set to go. That's right. And now, the reason I called, Mr. Seymour, was to ask if you'd arrange to have 2 or 3 veterans in uniform to help open the show. Yes, that's right. A sailor, a marine, and a soldier, if possible. And preferably someone who is physically handicapped. All they have to do is to be on stage while our national anthem's being played, beginning of the performance. It'll add color to the occasion. Good. Then I'll leave that part of it in your hands.
And so the machinery for the benefit show Star Parade is set in motion. Within a day, people all over Chicago and its environs were receiving written invitations to attend this performance. You, Tom Byron, were one of these individuals. Remember how interested your wife, Janet, was when the letter arrived? Remember how she said...
Look, Tom, we've received 4 tickets for a big show to be given at Variety Hall next month. Oh, do let's go, Tom. It sounds wonderful. We could take the Cornells with us and make it a real party.
What are you jabbering about, Janet? What show and who sent us the tickets?
They came in the mail today. The show's called Star Parade, and it'll be held on January 13th. Here's what the brochure says. America's greatest stage show, Galaxy of Stars. Don't miss seeing these stars of stage, screen, and television. Admissions by invitation only.
Oh, a free show, huh?
Well, no, dear. It's a benefit. The letter says, "Dear friends, we are taking the liberty of sending you tickets for 4 reserved seats to Star Parade. This grand affair is sponsored by the Veterans Benefit League."
Oh, the Veterans Benefit League, huh?
Yes, dear. And the letter goes on to say, "We assure you that not only will you spend a most enjoyable evening being entertained by some of the greatest performers of our time, but that the money you spend for these tickets will help some wounded veteran or his family find a better and happier life. The show is worthwhile. The cause is worthwhile. May we have your support. Thank you." And it's signed by Franklin Campbell, Chairman, Star Parade.
Hmm. How much are the tickets?
Let's see. The statement says, 4 reserved seats, $20.
Holy cow. $5 a piece.
Oh, but it's such a wonderful show. And a variety hall, Tom.
Okay, sugar, we'll go. I'll mail a check to the Star Parade chairman for the ticket.
Oh, thanks, honey. I'll go call the Cornells right away and see if they'll go with us as our guest.
You don't have to thank me, Janet. I'm not exactly doing this just for you. Well, I'm not even especially interested in the show.
Well, then,
it's
what?
This Veterans Benefit League. I've heard of them and the work they're doing. And it's, well, heck, the way I figure it, if my $20 will do one of those poor devils any good, well.
I catch on, you old softy. But thanks anyway.
Star Parade played to a packed house. And the show itself, this America's greatest stage show, this Galaxy of Stars, well.
Tom, I thought we were going to see some big name stars.
Yeah, it's pretty lousy.
Dog acts, tumblers, and now this second rate tap dance.
Hey, will you two pipe down? Ah, you expected too much, honey. You know how these charity things are.
Oh, but the letter and brochure.
Oh, never mind, Janet. We'll go see a real show soon.
But, Tom, we paid $20 for these tickets. We just haven't got that kind of money to throw away.
But the money is going to a good cause. That's what counts.
This envelope was just delivered by messenger, Mr. Seymour. I was told to give it to you right away. Personally.
Oh, thank you, Miss Jones. Let's see. Veterans Benefit League. Yeah, it's for us, all right. Yeah. Well, just what I'd hoped it was.
Oh, a check, huh?
Yes. A check for the proceeds of Star Parade.
Oh, my gosh. To think I held a big check right in my hands and didn't know it.
Well, actually, this check is small compared to the ones most business firms receive.
Oh, how can you say that, Mr. Seymour? Why, I read in the paper that every seat for Star Parade was sold out. 18,000 seats, it said. It's $5 a seat. That's $90,000. And you say the check is small.
Oh, well, you see, it costs quite a bit to put on a show in Variety Hall.
Yeah, I suppose so, but even half of $90,000 is an awful lot of money.
Well, that's true, but wow, this check is only for $1,000. Is this the office of the Veterans Benefit League?
Yeah, we want to see one of the officers.
Oh, I'm an officer of the League. What's the trouble?
We received some letters from a collection agency for payment of tickets to your benefit show, Star Parade.
A collection agency?
I'm a veteran myself, and no veterans organization should pull such a cheap trick as forcing people to pay for tickets they didn't ask for and don't want.
Yes, your organization's made enough on that show without trying to squeeze the last penny out of the public.
Take a letter, please, Miss James.
Yes, Mr. Seymour. Who to?
Mr. Franklin Campbell, Charity Projects Incorporated, 235 West Street, Chicago. Dear Mr. Campbell,
We have just learned that you have authorized collection letters sent to certain persons who received tickets to Star Parade. These letters give the impression they are sent on our behalf. This is not true. And we feel that your action has harmed our good reputation. We are proud of our organization, sir, and request that you cease all such collection efforts immediately. Very truly yours.
Mm-hmm. Any other letters, Mr. Seymour?
No. Hold up everything else to get this one letter out. Although I suppose this is a case of closing the barn door after...
What did you say, Mr. Seymour?
Nothing. Nothing important, Miss Jane.
Mr. Seymour, would you care if I asked you a question that's been on my mind?
No, Miss James. What is it?
About the proceeds of Star Parade. If the Veterans Benefit League only got $1,000, who got the rest of the profit from the $90,000?
Who got the rest of the profit? I think you'd know him now if you saw him. Makes quite an impressive appearance for his hand-tailored suit, pure silk ties, always has his shoes polished. Head waiters greet him with deference.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Campbell. I've reserved the best table we have for you, sir.
Various fundraising campaigns are conducted by reputable charity and veterans organizations. Such campaigns are often necessary to help maintain the services offered by these organizations. These campaigns are open to criticism only when they are conducted by greedy promoters under arrangements by which the promoters secure most of the money by capitalizing on the charity or patriotic appeal. Make certain that you will not fall victim to an unscrupulous promoter's scheme. Send any contributions directly to the organization itself, as it is listed in the telephone directory. However, remember you have no obligation to pay for any unordered merchandise, including tickets to benefit shows. Be sure and check on the reliability of an organization before you make a donation. Don't let the swindlers mean you when they say,
"Hello, sucker."
Tonight's script was written by Madeline Peters and was based on information secured in cooperation with the Chicago Better Business Bureau. All characters were fictitious, and any resemblance to any person living or dead is purely coincidental. Members of the cast were John Barkley, Paul Barnes, Jack Bivens, Geraldine Kay, Norma Ransom, and Russ Reed. Hello, Sucker is produced by Judith Waller, with direction by John Cowan. The special music was written by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Adele Scott and Jose Bethencourt. Sound by Tom Evans and engineering by Bob Becker. This is Don Gordon speaking. Next week, Hello, Sucker reveals interesting information about some automobile repair racket. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.